Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Hurst are with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. See, Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not too much. Just driving down to the rink, and it's beautiful, gorgeous weather.
Yeah, it's awesome outside today. Really, really looking forward to getting outside in it. Coming up here in just a few minutes. C-Mates, Preds taking on the Sharks tonight. What do you make of where the Preds sit right now in the standings and the opportunity starting tonight with five consecutive games at Bridgestone Arena?
Well, I honestly think that, you know, I know they only got 1 point in the last four, but I think their defensive game is maybe the best two back-to-back games in a row in terms of the defensive side of things. I thought Florida, they did a great job. They only gave up, two shots to Huberto, one to Barkov. They didn't really have much. Huberto gets the empty net goal. But I thought they contained, you know, one of the highest-powered offensive teams in the league quite well. And then Pittsburgh, same thing. I thought they did a really good job of keeping most of the threats to the outside, kind of perimeter stuff. Obviously, these teams are going to get, you know, some chances, and they're going to create on their own, and there's, you know, pretty much nothing you can do with it. When a team executes, just like on the flip side when the Predators are making plays. But defensively, I like where their game's at right now, and I think going down the stretch, the last little while prior to these two games, that was kind of my biggest concern was, you know, giving up free chances, turnovers, coverage plays, maybe a little too aggressive pushing forward, some maybe decision-making, soft passes through the middle. But the last two games, they kind of shored that up. So, the homestand here, this is big. I mean, you're not going to get any help from anybody. You got to do it yourself, and I know that's what they want to do. The competition varies, starting with San Jose, who everyone thinks, you got to beat San Jose, that's 2 points in the bank. Well, if you don't play the right way, it's not. I think we've seen that, you know, more than enough here lately. But you got to take care of home ice. They've been good there all year, so hopefully they start with a strong performance tonight.
C-Mace, Malkin gets 4 games, a 4-game suspension, you know, for the cross check the other day. But of course, there's no help there for the Preds, and I wouldn't suggest that. You know, is why the Preds lost, but I think he should have gotten a major and it should have been a different outcome, and I don't understand Borowiecki getting a penalty. So when you look at that situation, what needs to be different about the way the NHL does things in situations like that?
You know, I think everybody agrees with you that, you know, the TNT panel there is saying, you know, their guess on it was 3 to 10 games, vicious cross-check. I don't know. I feel like they're able to review the double minor. I think something in that situation, you got to huddle up with the crew and you got to get that right, because I guarantee you that if that happened the other way around, Borowiecki would have got a 2, 5, and a 10. He would have been out of the game. And that's probably what it should have been for Malkin, and then obviously reviewed by the league, and the Department of Player Safety does whatever it does with it. But I just think that's terrible, because you know for a fact, you've got a pretty good feeling that had Borowiecki been the one that dished out that cross-check, and the fact that Borowiecki stays up, I mean, you got to get those ones right. You know, the little hooks or the little cross-check that get dives, you know, it's tough for the referee to get that right during the game, and you got to live with the good ones and the bad ones. But those ones, I mean, that's a pretty pivotal call in a hockey game. You got a 2-minute power play, or you got, you know, 7 minutes on the power play with it was a 2 and a 5. So that was definitely, it's tough to swallow, but at the end of the day, as a player, you just go out there and you can only, you know, deal with what the situation is. And I thought they did a good job, but it was just too bad, because, you know, it could have been 2 points instead of one.
Chris Mason on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. See, Mace, I mean, look, there are pros and cons to any way you do the lineup. If you're John Hines, if you go back to Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, you can load up, and there's a lot of offense that could come from that line, but it takes away from other lines. If you split them up, maybe they're not quite as effective individually as they would be together. There's a bunch of different ways you could look at it. What do you make of the decision that John Hines has made to split Forsberg and Duchesne up, and what do you think is the strategy that should be employed moving forward as they get closer to the playoffs?
Well, I really, you know, in theory, I like what that move does, because it gives you two lines essentially that should be able to produce offensively. I know he'll put Johansson, Duchesne, and Forsberg after they, you know, kill penalties, just because those guys don't kill some offensive zone stuff. But maybe on an icing, we'll load those guys up. But in theory, if they can get some production on that second line and the top line can continue to produce, and you can get those guys back together on the power play, it makes a lot of sense for me. But I guess you just have to see where it goes, because it's kind of, the well's kind of dried up a little bit here, but you're playing against a couple tough teams. I didn't expect Florida to be as good as defensively as they were. Maybe it was because it was the second game of back-to-back. They locked it down a little more, but I like that. So if I'm the coach or whoever, I'm willing to try to stick with that, because essentially I think in playoffs you're going to need two lines that have, you know, some offensive threats on them. So we'll have to see where this goes. But, I mean, you could always go back and load up that line. It didn't matter. It seemed to matter to them who they were playing against. They were getting it done night in, night out. So that's always been ace in the hole, I think, for Hines.
Seamus, how are you feeling right now about UC Saros and where he is? Had some ups and downs. We've talked about the workload. It's been huge. It's been way different than the rest of his career. Where do you think he is right now?
Oh, I think he's in a great spot. I really do. I thought, maybe a couple weeks ago I was thinking, maybe there might be some fatigue. I thought with not just him, but the way the team was playing. And, you know, for him, you just can't sustain that Superman, almost perfect style of play where you're winning games every single night. And a lot of those games, let's be honest, they didn't deserve to win because of the types of chances and the amount of quality chances they were giving up. It just, you just can't sustain that. And as good as UC Saros is, and even his bad times or his downs, they're not that down. He's been a pillar of consistency this season. But I really like how his game right now. I thought in Florida he was fantastic the game before. Love giving him the rest. Riddick comes in, and that's a big thing too, I think, for the team. Is he comes in there, puts a solid performance, earns a point for the boys, and but it'll be interesting to see how this week, you just mentioned all the home games. Does he play every game this week? I don't know. We'll have to see. I guess the results will dictate some of that. I know they haven't went Saros on back-to-back nights, but I think his game is in order right now. And we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, so this is the best time to heat back up.
C-Mace, do you feel the momentum kind of sliding Yossi's way in terms of the Norris Trophy conversation right now?
I really feel, and you guys follow this too just as much as I do, but I really feel there's been a narrative shift. And I think once, everybody started talking about just the layers of Yossi's game, how well-rounded he is, and then obviously what Yossi's done is in March and just continues to do is, it's just, he's having a historic season. And this is one of the things I think when you get, ingrained in sports and you're following the storyline, he's having one of the greatest seasons in the history of the NHL. And Cale Makar's having an awesome season. Even if Cale Makar gets a 30 goals, which is absolutely incredible, he should win the Norris on any other given year. But, guys have scored 30, and it's been attained here in the last, 10 years. Nobody, if Yossi continues the pace he's on right now, nobody's done this in over 30 years. And you're talking, he's in the company of some of the greatest defensemen to ever play the game, Bobby Orr, Paul Coffey, Dennis Pop. You go on and on and on. And Yossi's right up there with any of these guys. So I really do, when I put my stamp on, hey, this guy's got to, win the Vezina, or this guy's got to win, I don't say it unless I 100% mean it. And I really do think Yossi, if you look at some of the other guys, the points that he generates of the team's percentage that he is in on is up there with Connor McDavid. Some of the best forwards. The next closest defenseman is like 7 or 8% less in the National Hockey League. So I really believe that he should be under serious consideration for the Hart Trophy. I think the Norris is a lock, but that's just me.
Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C-Mace, Great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Thank you, guys. Just enjoy the beautiful day, okay?
Yeah, we will do our best. You do the same. Preds taking on the Sharks tonight at Bridgestone Arena. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tickets for the Music City Grand Prix, which is coming up on August the 5th through the 7th, go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. 1025 The Game has your chance to win three-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix right now. Just text the word RACE to the Game Nashville text line at 615-737-1025 to be qualified to win. More details on the Music City Grand Prix can be found at MusicCityGP.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.